This is Larry Connors. I want to remind you, this is a good time to call John Beal and have our professionals take a look at your roof. Get any issues fixed before we get heavy thunderstorms. And John Beal has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. And with John Beal, you get our low price guarantee. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. Get booked on the schedule before the bad weather. Call the roofing company I'm proud to endorse. Call my friend, John Beal. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Don't miss Kohl's 50% off sale Thursday through Saturday. Plus, take an extra 20% off. Plus, take an extra $10 off your purchase of $50 or more. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Hi, this is Jeff Lapidus, the retirement coach. If you want to make smart choices about your retirement planning, listen to my show, Straight Talk on Retirement, this Saturday at 10 a.m. here on the Big 550 KTRS.
Grab your coat and get your hat. Leave your worry on the doorstep. Just direct your feet to the sunny side of the street. Can't you hear a pit-a-pat, and that happy tune is your step. Life can be so sweet on the sunny side of the street. I used to walk in the shade with those blues on the parade, but I'm not afraid. This rover,
thank God it's Friday!
Crossed over. If I never have a cent, I'll be rich as Rockefeller. Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of the street.
Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the Afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, your 20% host, giving 100% of the effort. And happy to have you along as we do the show that tells you that the weekend is almost here. Ian Geis is here in the studio with me running the equipment. If it weren't for him, I'd be talking to myself right now. Hi, Ian. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
And over here, well, let me give him some credits first.
Oh, boy.
You know him not only for his work as the producer of this show, but also as one of the star members of the Upside Down Band.
The Southside Johnny Band?
That's what I said. One of the best bands in the area. You also know him from his role as an extra in the George Clooney Anna Kendrick movie, Up in the Air.
Right?
That's right.
And this week he added to that list, to his resume, if you will, Las Vegas stage star, ladies and gentlemen, Dan Strauss.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you so much. What is this?
Dan just got back from Las Vegas this morning, and he was telling me before the show he had a wake-up call at the hotel in Vegas at 3 a.m.
Yes.
Oh.
Well, that was, and it's actually 5 a.m. here.
So it's not that bad.
No, it's not that bad, because we tried not to adjust too much to the time there, but it's hard not to.
Yeah.
Because you just lose all track of time, and all of a sudden it's like, what time is it? Oh!
So how did you find yourself on stage in Las Vegas?
We went to Las Vegas because my girlfriend Sandy's brother, it was his 60th birthday. He goes to Las Vegas all the time and wanted her to go. So she had never been to Vegas before.
Oh, okay.
So it was a whirlwind tour of Vegas.
Yeah.
But we ended up on stage. We were going to go see Mack King at
Harris.
Harris, yes.
I've recommended him to you. He does a great comedy magic show. Twice a day, 5 days a week, 1 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah.
So he doesn't compete against the primetime evening, big Cirque du Soleil kind of shows.
Yeah.
He's on in the afternoon. It's a 90-minute show, and it's just him on stage, and he brings up audience members, and it's hysterical, and the magic is great. It's all sorts of close-up stuff, and it makes goldfish appear over your head. It's a wonderful show. So how did you enjoy that?
So we didn't see Matt King
because
he was not there.
Oh, okay.
He was
It wasn't
off.
That you ignored my recommendation. You wanted to go see Matt.
We wanted to go see Mac. We went there to get tickets, and they said, now, you know, Mac King is not here.
Mm.
He won't be back until November or something.
Okay.
And that they said, but Dana, and I cannot remember the guy's last name. His first name's Dana. They said, his show is very funny.
Also magic and comedy?
Also magic and comedy. Same type of thing. And okay. They said he's very, very funny. Almost as good as Matt King, but really, really funny.
Okay.
So we went ahead and got tickets and went into the show. And we sat in the front row. And, well, actually, we were sitting in the second or third row. I can't remember which. The usher sat us. We went out to get some drinks, came back, and people were sitting in our seats. And the usher goes, just come over here. She brings us around and sets us in the front row.
Oh.
So he went through the whole thing. He brought some people up. He was very funny. And the first thing he does is he brings a bird out. He has a bird in his act.
Oh, one of your favorite things.
It's a...
A dove?
No. It's a parakeet or parrot. It was a parrot.
Okay.
It was a parrot.
You love birds.
Oh, I know. I love, absolutely love
birds.
And
you're in the front row. You're really close to the bird. That's your favorite thing.
Well, the stage was a little higher, and he had the bird on some sort of bird stand.
Perch. Good word.
Yeah,
thank perch. You. Also the name of a bird. Now back to you, Dan.
And...
it's a fish. What am I talking about?
That's what I was eating. Yeah. I was...
And he kept saying...
It's one of those flying fish you've heard so much about.
That the bird would read people's minds and all this other stuff, and he would turn the bird around. It was actually very funny.
Okay, now knowing how you feel about birds, did Sandy have to hold your hand?
No, okay. She didn't, but I was just making sure that this bird... I think the bird's wings are clipped, so just making sure this thing's not going to go flying or doing something. Well, then... he goes through everything, and he brings people up, and he does all this magic and comedy and things with them, and it's the last act. He's getting ready to finish, and he said something, and it made me laugh, and I laughed, and he goes, "You, I hear you laughing or something, or you have a great laugh or something like that." He says, "Come on up on stage." Uh-huh. And I'm like, oh. Well, at this point, I'm not even thinking of the goofy bird. So I walk up on stage, and I'm standing there, and I look over, and it's like, oh, crap.
I'm here with the bird now.
Yeah. Meanwhile, the bird is thinking, there he is.
I know.
He's closer now.
Yeah. No, they can sense it.
I'm going to go peck your eyes out.
They smell it through their beak.
Smell it through their beak. So I'm saying.
Way perch to.
Yes.
And she's telling me, she goes, she was watching, she kept thinking, please don't do anything with the bird with him. I thought, oh crap, he put something on my head. I thought, and as soon as he put this thing on my head, I said, I have to tell you, I have a tremendous bird phobia. And he goes, he has a bird phobia. And he goes, now you say something about it. I said, I don't want that bird anywhere near me. So
now Dana, whatever his name is thinking, fine. I was almost through. Yeah. I could have picked anybody for the last bit I'm going to do here.
Exactly.
And now I got to get this guy, Mr. Birdphobic.
But he laughed, and he made a $100 bill disappear that I put my initials on, and it showed up in an orange at the end of the night.
Mm-hmm.
So he put it in this little tiny envelope. So I was holding this thing up at the end of the towards the end of the show, and it transferred from there into the orange.
Oh.
So he says, and now your $100 bill, and he takes that out, and there's a bunch of bird seed. And so it's bird seed in my hand.
The envelope is full of bird seed, and not your bill.
Yeah, and I said, I'm not feeding this bird. I told him.
And meanwhile, the bird is going, come on.
Yeah, I'm hungry.
We're only about 4 feet away. Let's go.
Exactly.
And he says, okay, put the bird seed back in this envelope. So I went to put it back in the envelope, and it just dumped all over the stage.
You missed the envelope.
You missed the envelope. It's all over the stage.
There goes that trick.
I started picking stuff up, and he goes, no, never mind.
He turns to the bird, attack!
Oh, man.
Did you get your 100 back, though?
Oh, yeah. It was in the orange.
Tasted a little orangey later.
Yes, and it was. It was very citrusy and wet and everything. And I can't, you know, it's so sleight of hand, but you can't figure out how he did it. But I was watching him cut the orange. Mm-hmm. And the way he cut it in a way where
You mean it's not real magic?
No, well, oh yeah, it was.
Real magic, yeah.
Yes, it was real magic.
Don't destroy it for the kids listening today.
Some kind of trick he's doing.
Yeah.
It's not like it's a magic show.
Yeah.
No. It's crazy.
Well, good. Well, that was cool. Now, you told me beforehand you stayed at Planet Hollywood.
Yes. Yeah.
And I go out to Vegas several times a year, so I know exactly where that is. And I know one thing about Planet Hollywood is that it's right on the Strip, in the center of the Strip, kind mm-hmm. of opposite the Bellagio and Cosmopolitan and other places in the middle of the Las Vegas Strip. And in front of the Planet Hollywood, near its main entrance there, there are a lot of these characters. I don't
Pikachu was there.
Yeah, people dressed up in costumes.
Mickey
Mouse.
It's
like Times Square now, or
you see it on
the Brahmins Chinese theater.
Yeah, you see that on Jimmy Kimmel's show a lot. They go out and there's a Spider-Man and an Elmo. And
I heard that. Yeah, they have that.
Oh, they have a lot of those people there.
Yeah, but tell me if you saw the thing that I always see as I walk down there, and it's there are always these two women who are gorgeous,
mm-hmm.
and they're not wearing much of anything. In fact, it may just be two pasties and a G-string.
Pretty much, yeah.
And sometimes there are two women who are wearing nothing and have their bodies painted.
Yes. Yes, I saw the painting. I saw the girls painted.
Now, every time I see them, and it's not like I specifically go to that part of the Strip to see that sort of thing.
Yeah.
No.
Like you're walking way out of your way just to go see that.
I barely noticed it.
It's not like I'm at the completely other end of the Strip and happen to just show up there. But I always have to say to myself, don't be the creepy middle-aged guy who stares.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I look around, and there are other creepy middle-aged guys who are just staring, who are just standing there, who have told their wife, no, you go ahead to the mall, honey. I'll be over here for a few minutes.
But I have to, because my eyes are so bad. But people don't understand that my eyes are bad. I always look like some creepy middle-aged guy.
So you're moving really, really up close, and then, excuse me, ma'am, I didn't mean to put my face right there.
I'm trying to focus. I can't focus.
So they were there when you were there?
Oh, yeah.
So what did Sandy say while you were staring?
Well, one time we were walking, and Sandy goes, oh, look at those boobs. So I went, and I'm trying to look. I said, where are they? Where are? And she smacks me. Don't look at the boobs. I said, you just said look at the boobs.
Yeah, you go, well, look at those boobs. What does that mean?
Look at the boobs. I'm trying to find the boobs now.
If you do not want me to look, do not tell me to look.
Exactly. Yeah.
How could you possibly blame me for this?
I can't find the boobs. Where are the boobs? You said look at the boobs. Oh, my goodness.
This is the conversation you hear from across the Strip.
Oh, yeah.
Dan yelling out, where are the boobs?
Yeah.
You said look at the boobs.
The boobs are there.
Oh.
You said they were there. Now they're not.
But you had a nice time and you're back now. And
oh, we had a blast. And I just found out from Josh, who's on the Carney Show. I don't know if you know who he is.
Mm-hmm.
We said we should have taken one of those walking meters or whatever to see how much you walk. Oh, man.
Did you walk all over the place?
Oh, we walked so many. I mean, everywhere. And I just found out that there's a built-in one on your iPhone. Is that correct? Does anybody know that?
I don't know.
I
think you can get one that hooks up to a
Fitbit. Yeah, there are free apps. I have free apps on my phone that'll do steps.
Yeah, so we didn't do that, but we should have because, man, oh, man.
So you got to be on stage. You got to look for the boobs. And you did a lot of exercise. Good. That's a nice vacation.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right there. That's nice. Right?
And you know they have those walkways that go over the roads now.
Yes.
A lot of the time you do the crosswalk thing, but a lot of those walkways really cut down and really it's very nice. We went, a couple of the escalators were down, mm-hmm. so we decided to take the elevator.
They go down, and they also have escalators that go up.
Yeah. Yes, down and up. So we decided we were going to go up, but we decided to go ahead and take the elevator to go up to the walkway to cross over.
Mm-hmm.
We get in the elevator last night, and there's one guy in the elevator. I think he was a homeless guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he's standing in the elevator, and the door opens. We get in. He's already in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are only two stops on the elevator, ground floor and over.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we go to push the button. Sandy pushes the button. He goes, no, don't push that button.
Oh, no.
We're like, why? He goes, I already pushed it. It'll do. And he starts going, I'm like, what in God's name is wrong with you? And he goes, it'll mess it up. And she goes, oh, it'll like delay it or something like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And he goes, I live here. I know these elevators. It's like, okay.
All right, buddy.
Wow. Great. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Please, elevator, go at warp speed.
You must just
get us to the next floor. Let's go.
Yeah, you must be with a welcoming committee. So I live here. Don't touch those buttons.
Funny you should mention that, because Ian found this and handed it to me just before we went on the air today. A new report out that says that the buttons in the elevator, they all work except for the close button.
Oh.
You ever been in the elevator? You get in, you're the only person. You reach over to close it.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do anything.
Yeah.
That's because they haven't been hooked up since the 1990s. The story says the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990, and it mandated that elevators stay open long enough for someone with a physical disability, like somebody on crutches or somebody in a wheelchair, got to give them time to get inside. So you can't just walk into the elevator, push it, and close it behind you. So that button is there because it used to be there, and they haven't removed them, and it does absolutely nothing.
Wow.
The other button that does absolutely nothing is the crosswalk button.
Oh, yeah. When you push it and it goes beep, and then...
You think it's going to change it to a red light earlier so you can cross.
I never thought that those worked
because
it seems like it just goes through a normal cycle.
Yes. All intersections now, like that, are computer controlled. They have a specific time that's set for a certain time of day. Yeah. Rush hour might be different than middle of the day or middle of the night. You're pushing that button, does nothing except tell the device, got another sucker here.
I know.
Who thinks this button does
something?
And
it even beeps.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll make a beep.
And the other one this says, and we can relate to this, is a majority of the thermostats installed in offices are decoys.
That's ours here.
It says the 2003 air conditioning, heating, and refrigeration news survey found that a lot of offices install dummy thermostats to convince people that they can change the temperature in their office while they're actually changing nothing. And why was that? Because people would go over and somebody would turn it up and somebody would turn it down and somebody would turn it up and somebody would turn it down and up and down, and they were breaking the stuff. The report says we've reduced the number of service calls for office HVAC by 75% by putting in dummy thermostats.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, I do have one more thing. I talked to, there were two girls dressed as cops, and they were scantily clad cops.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up and started talking to them, and they said, oh, you want a picture? I said, no, I don't want a picture. I want to ask you a question. I said, I see you guys out here, and I see Pikachu running around, Spider-Man, and other people doing different things, and people playing. The latest thing now is the battery-operated little power amps and stuff, and people will sing and do everything.
They're all trying to get money from tourists coming by.
I said, do you guys just stand out here and take pictures and want money, or do you have to get a permit? And she goes, no, we have to get permits.
Yep.
So everybody out there has to have a permit,
and
then every once in a while somebody will come by and ask them to see their permit.
The local government has to get its piece.
Yep.
We can't have somebody out there asking you for money if the government's not going to get any money from that.
Yeah. What about the homeless people that are standing? There's a lot of homeless people sitting there with their cardboard signs made up and everything.
I'm guessing that there's no homeless person, bottle of water salesperson permit.
No, I don't think there is, but...
Yeah, one of the sad things.
Yeah.
Before we go, you know, this is not a political show in any way. You're not going to hear us talking about Hillary Clinton or emails or Donald Trump and foundations. We don't do that. But I do want to play for you a political ad. Before I do this, I yesterday, a friend of mine said he is so happy that he's early voted by absentee ballot. He said, I'm done with this election. I don't have to think about it or worry about it anymore. I said, no, that's not true, because it's impossible to get through the day without seeing these stupid commercials on TV for Greitens and Koster and Kander and whoever, you know, in Illinois for Tammy Duckworth and Mark Kirk, and both states were just every commercial break, even on the radio. Yeah, you know, broadcast outlets like this are very happy. CNN, Fox News, and MSNBC, they're thrilled. They're making $1 billion in revenue this year because of the political commercials.
And watching TV out there over the weekend, or not over the weekend, but the past couple of days, they go to a break. every single commercial.
Yeah, six or eight of them in a row.
Is a political ad.
Yeah, which is almost, I mean, we're a swing state and Nevada's a swing state. So, so that's what you get. So you may think that just because you voted early, you're done with the election. You're not. That said, I do want to play you what I consider to be the political ad of the year. This is from a guy, a Republican guy in Texas, who's running for city commissioner. I don't even know what city it's from, but I just want to play this for you. His name is Gerald Daughtry, not the guy who was on American Idol a few years ago and had his own band, not related to him at all. In this commercial, you're going to hear Gerald Daughtry talking, and you're going to hear his wife, Caitlin, commenting on him talking. And just the way they did this commercial, I don't know who this guy is, but I want to vote for his ad people, not for him necessarily, but for his ad people, for coming up with a unique way to try to get your vote.
We've got room to put 2,700 people in our jail, and it costs us about $103 a day.
Gerald really doesn't have any hobbies.
Last year's tax rate was 0.4169. This year, we could take that down to 3838.
So is he always like that?
0.4169.
Yeah, all the time.
Come out with it. Which means that the 3838 is probably going to go somewhere between 3838 and 41.69.
Most people leave their work at the office.
We got three light rail cars. You can put 60 people on each car. So even if you add two cars, you're talking about maybe 300 people that are affected. There are a million people in this community. I mean, that is 0.01 to the 8th power. If you round it off, it's zero.
All he wants to do is fix things.
So I got this 18-wheeler that's parked in this neighborhood, fuming fumes all over the place, but quite frankly, it's not a code violation. You know, I think I like helping around the house here.
Please re-elect Gerald. Please.
She's sick of having him around the house. Every time he talks, she rolls her eyes. Other people are in the backyard at the barbecue. They're rolling their eyes while this guy's talking.
Funny.
Oh, that is so clever. I like that a lot. We'll be back in a moment here on the Big 550 KTRS.
All right, here's a guy that filled in for me while I was out in Vegas. And he cleaned the whole area. Holy cow. This is crazy. You have OCD, don't you, Tim? You just wanted the place.
You can write your name in dust, yeah, I guess so.
Hey, I saw in Vegas they were talking about this place. It's an interchange on the highway. It's called the Spaghetti. They just call it the Spaghetti. And it's all these ramps, and it looks like a bunch of spaghetti from the air. And this is closed. It is wreaking havoc out there, and they called it Carnado.
Oh, no.
They call it Carnado.
We have something like that at 270 in Tesson Ferry. We call it the Mustacholi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. All right, well, how's traffic look, Tim?
Traffic. Okay, if you're coming in from Illinois, southbound Highway 55, just before Route 4, you've got an accident that's blocking the right lane. It looks like we got maybe 1 or 2 mile backup. Those folks coming southbound 55. Locally here, it looks like it's pretty heavy on southbound 270 already from Page down through the Clayton Road overpass. We have southbound 170 really jammed up from Olive down through Highway 40, eastbound 40 downtown Union Station to the Poplar, westbound 40. It's approaching King's Highway. Out through McCausland, and then eastbound 270, really jamming up now just a little bit east of McDonald through Highway 170. And this traffic report brought to you by Subway. Friday is more than Friday. Now at Subway, Friday is tuna day. That's today's 356-inch sub of the day. It's a great sub for a great price. There's a different 356-inch sub every day only at Subway. I'm Tim Weiland from the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage, 314-839-9999, NMLS number 2250-95.
Hello, everybody. It's Jim Hewitt. Don't forget to tune in Sunday mornings at 11 a.m. for Sports Sunday. My partner, Brendan Weesey, has it all covered for you. He'll talk Mizzou football with Howard Richards. He'll discuss the NFL with Jim Thomas. He'll even give you some fantasy football tips. It's all on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. Sports Sunday with Brendan Weesey.
There are a lot of reasons Chris Koster is a Hillary Clinton corrupt liberal career politician. Hillary Clinton just gave him $500,000 more. $500,000 to control Missouri for the next 4 years. Together, Clinton and Koster support bigger Obamacare, higher taxes, partial birth abortion, and unbridled corruption. Hillary Clinton knows Chris Koster will be a rubber stamp for her radical big government agenda. Why else would she give him $500,000 to buy this election?
This is Governor Mike Pence. Just wanted to take a minute from the campaign trail to share my strong personal support for Eric Greitens. Eric is a good friend and a true patriot. He's pro-life, pro-family, and Eric will fight for our constitutional limited government principles because that's what he's done his whole life. Take it from me, Mike Pence. Eric Greitens is a conservative warrior. He'll make you proud as your next governor.
Eric Greitens for governor.
Paid for by Greitens for Missouri, Jeff Stearman, Treasurer.
No company sells and installs more windows than Window World. Hi, everybody. McGraw Milhaven here for the number one replacement window company here in St. Louis. I've been a spokesman of theirs for at least 12 years, and they have grown exponentially because they have a very simple formula. Great customer service and great windows. In fact, the windows come with the Good Housekeeping Seal of Approval. Window World Windows comes with a lifetime warranty that covers all the parts, glass breakage, as well as labor. For the last 6 years, in a row, they've sold over 1 million windows nationwide. Why is that? Because they stand behind their product. Window World. If you're looking for windows, there really is no other company. I would put my reputation behind it. Window World Windows, 314-993-1800. That's 314-993-1800 or windowworld.com. For the best windows at the best price, best customer service, windowworld.com.
Suburban Leisure Center would like to demonstrate how to convince your wife that you need to buy gas logs for your fireplace. The next time a good storm comes up, she says,
let's build a fire.
Go out, bring in the wood, and accidentally track in mud, leaves, slush, whatever you can.
Oh, look at that.
Then mention you saw gas logs at Suburban Leisure Center. They look just like real wood, but unlike real wood, you don't have to go outside and get it.
Sure.
While out at the wood pile, find that special log that's been sitting deep in the pile.
Ah!
You know, the one that has spiders in it.
Ew!
Mention that creepy things never crawl out of gas logs from Suburban Leisure Center.
Uh-huh.
And always put another log on the fire just before she's ready to call it a night. Tell her you'll have to wait until the fire dies to come to bed.
Oh.
But if you had gas logs, you wouldn't have to wait until the fire goes out. You could just turn it off.
Wish we had gas logs.
And you can get a good price on gas logs at Suburban Leisure Center.
I get it. I see your point.
Suburban Leisure Center on Olive, just a mile west of 141. Online at suburbanleisurecenter.com.
In Illinois, we're no stranger to potholes. But the problem with our roads goes much deeper. After decades of heavy traffic and extreme weather, over 4,000 Illinois bridges are crumbling, and half our roads are rated in poor condition. We see it in every part of the state. We already pay to fix our roads, but year after year, Springfield raids the road fund for their pet projects. They've taken over $6 billion of our transportation money in the last 10 years alone. The more they take, the more our safety is at risk. But on November 8th, we can take back control. We can vote for the Safe Roads Amendment and require Springfield to spend our transportation money on transportation only. With the Safe Roads Amendment, we can fix our roads without raising taxes. Newspapers across Illinois support the Safe Roads Amendment, saying it's common sense. So on November 8th, at the top of your ballot, vote yes on the Safe Roads Amendment, paid for by Citizens to Protect Transportation funding.
No matter what kind of allergy day you're having, relief can be yours with Nasacort Allergy 24-Hour. Its prescription-strength medicine effectively relieves your worst nasal allergy symptoms, including congestion, for 24 hours. Nasacort has no harsh taste, is non-drowsy, and non-addictive. Unlike Flonase, Nasacort is scent and alcohol-free. For effective nasal allergy relief, choose Nasacort. It's guaranteed relief or your money back. Details at Nasacort.com. Use as directed.
Weekday mornings at 6:35. Scott Crothers from Stifel Nicolaus with insights on the markets and investing. And for your own personal financial review, call him at 314-292-6201 and listen weekday mornings at 6:35 here on the Big 550 KTRS.
This is Jim Huer. Join Jim Holder and me as the Big Sports Show broadcasts live from Rally House in St. Peter's this Friday, October the 28th. Rally House is holding a Mizzou pep rally prior to the Mizzou-Kentucky game on Saturday. There'll be giveaways, including two pairs of tickets to the Mizzou Kentucky game with a parking pass, a Barry Odom autographed football, a washer game, and more. So join us this Friday, October the 28th, starting at 6:30 for the Rally House Mizzou Pep Rally, just off Mid Rivers Mall Drive in St. Peter's.
Interesting little bit of music trivia. It's the only band in history to have the word Spandau in its name.
Wow.
What about ballet? They may hold that title too, no?
There may have been others, I don't know. Welcome to the Friday edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon here on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris, Dan Strauss, and Ian Geiser here with me. Tim's checking the roads. Colin will be here with the news at the top of the hour, and then we'll do showbiz stuff in the 4 o'clock hour, including a review of the new Tom Hanks movie, Inferno. And then in the 5 o'clock hour, of course, the Harris Challenge and Mike Evans and this week's batch of Knuckleheads in the News. Back in the 1980s, a comedian by the name of Rich Hall was part of the cast of an HBO show called Not Necessarily the News, which was a must-see in our house. Very, very funny stuff. And he also had a stand-up career at the same time. But one of the things that he was known for on HBO was a bit he created called Sniglets. Sniglets are words that don't exist, but they should. And I'll give you a couple of examples. And this goes right in. We were just talking about elevators. One of the words he invented was elaceleration, which is the mistaken belief that the elevator will go faster when you push the button repeatedly.
Oh, yes.
Bovalexia, the urge to stick your head out the window and yell moo whenever you see cows. This is one of my favorites. Cinemuck. That's the stuff stuck to the floor of the movie theater. Cinemuck. This one actually kind of did become a word. A faux-pology. Sorry, not sorry.
Oh, yeah.
What else is on the list? Phlegm. Oh, this is a good one, too. You know what phlegm is?
No.
That's the crusty residue on the top of the ketchup bottle.
Oh, yeah.
He said, no, there's no name for that. So he created like the name.
Coagulated blood.
Yeah. Flopcorn. Those are the unpopped kernels left in a bag of popcorn. Aquadextrous. The ability to turn on your bathtub faucet with your toes. And then there's ignisecond. Ignisecond is that moment that you close the car door just as you realize my keys are inside. So now with that, that was Rich Hall, Sniglets from the 80s, and he turned it into his own little industry. He had at least two or three books that were huge sellers, and they may still be available. So today I'm looking online, and I found something very similar on a website called Sad and Useless, which calls itself the most depressive humor site on the Internet. But they had a thing today, new words that you need to add to your vocabulary, which is right down the same alley. Like a textrovert, a person who feels more comfortable talking over texting than to your face.
Right.
Deja brew, slowly remembering things you did while you were drunk. Ask hole, someone who asks a lot of stupid, pointless, or obnoxious questions. Stop being such an ask hole. Internest. That's the cocoon of blankets and pillows you gather around yourself while you're spending way too much time on the Internet. Oh, this is a good one. Destinesia. When you get to where you were intending to go, but forgot why you were going there in the first place.
Oh, and that's anywhere, like going back to the kitchen or going somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bedgasm. Not sexual. Mm. They describe it as the feeling of euphoria you get when you climb into the bed at the end of a very long day.
Oh, yeah.
The errorist, not terrorist, but errorist, somebody who repeatedly makes mistakes or you can count on usually being wrong. I know a couple of people like that. Whenever a question comes up, they jump in with the answer and they're inevitably wrong. Beer boarding, extracting secret information from a coworker by getting him drunk. Anti-stalking, learning a person's routine in order to avoid them. Unlightening, learning something that makes you dumber. Everybody who texts knows this one. Textpectation. That's the anticipation you feel when you're waiting for a response to the text message you just sent. And if you have an iPhone, you usually, if they're typing back to you, you can see the three little dots. Do they have those on Android phones, too?
Yeah, I think so.
So you can see when they're texting back to you, and you're looking at your phone, and you go, I know they got it. We were just in a conversation. Why aren't they writing back to me?
Oh, they are.
Master dating. That's with a D in the middle. That's going out alone to a movie or a restaurant. Mantrum, the childish rage displayed by a grown man when he doesn't get his way. And this one I like a lot. Chair drobe. Piling your clothes on the chair instead of putting them in the closet or in the dresser. Also goes with floor drobe. Would be the same kind of thing. What else do we have for today? Oh, did you see the story earlier this week about the self-driving beer truck in Colorado?
Yeah, yes. I did.
A company called Otto, which is now a division of Uber, they bought it out. They drove an Anheuser-Busch beer truck from Fort Collins, Colorado, to Colorado Springs. That's 120 miles. They drove it on the highway. Well, it drove itself.
And there was some guy in the cab.
Yeah. Now here's the amazing part of this story, because I was fascinated by this. Because we've heard a lot about autonomous vehicles and how this is in our future and how it's only a couple of years away. I don't think it's a couple of years away. It's several years away. But if this does come true, this is going to be bad news for people who drive for a living.
I would think.
If you're a long-haul trucker, you may be out of a job because the computer is going to do your job instead of you. And by the way, long-haul trucking industry is in a crisis right now because no young people are going into the business. And when I say no, I mean relatively few young people are going into the business. And the age of the average trucker in this country is now approaching 60 or 62 years old.
Yeah, we have a couple of truck drivers that listen
to us. We've got a lot of truck drivers who listen.
And they've called and they've said that very same thing, that another younger guys are coming into the business.
Right. Well, now younger guys may not go into the business once they hear that the self-driving truck is
going
to be out there.
Only a matter of time, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The job may not exist in a few years. Now, I should point out that on this ride that this truck took in Colorado, it only went from on-ramp to off-ramp in automated mode. But still, it did 55 miles an hour. It made the turns. It stayed in its lane for 120 miles. And then the guy who was in the cab, and by the way, he wasn't actually in the cab. I read up on this. He was in the sleeper compartment.
Oh, really?
Wow.
So he wasn't in the driver's seat. He wasn't in the passenger seat. He was back there. I saw a picture of him. He did a selfie of himself from back there while the car was driving itself 55 miles an hour down the highway. Now, I will tell you, I wouldn't mind if I were one of the testing people to be the guy in the driver's seat so that if something did go wrong with the software, I could grab the steering wheel.
Yeah, not
hit
be in the sleeper cab.
Yeah, in the sleeper cab, you're essentially a passenger with an accident waiting to happen.
Yep.
And you're lucky it didn't happen. Here's the other part of this story that I don't think got a lot of attention. When they made the trip, the Colorado Department of Transportation was completely down with it because they had made this company, Otto, do a lot of testing beforehand on shorter roads. And the CDOT workers had restriped that section of I-25 between Fort Collins and Colorado Springs so that the truck had a better idea of where the lanes were. That's another thing. If we ever get back to fixing our infrastructure in this country, we won't have those faded lane markers. Also, here's the other thing I didn't know. There was a convoy of cops along with this thing. There was a state trooper who drove about a minute ahead of the vehicle, another trooper in another vehicle driving 10 seconds ahead of the vehicle, a lead car immediately in front of the truck, another state trooper trailing the truck, and two more vehicles behind that with technicians and engineers aboard.
Well, what is that lead car going to do? Try and stop the truck? Whoa, settle down. Well, if the truck's out of control.
Throw out some spike strips.
Yeah.
Push it off onto one of those mountain off-ramp things.
Exactly.
That, you know, it goes up the other way. I wonder if those cops had their lights on to make people get out of that lane because this automated truck was coming through. Because if that's the case, then this was not a real test in real driving conditions. Because you know, you and I both know police on the highway completely change everything.
Oh, yeah.
If you're driving along and you're doing 70 in a 60 and you come up on a cop, you don't keep doing 70.
No.
You do 59 or you pace the cop car until he gets off of the exit or you do.
It's so funny to me when people do that because it's like, you know what? He's already seen you. And he's
No, it's not like he doesn't have a rear view mirror.
And now he sees you putting your brake lights on. Your brake lights are going on, and you're like slamming your brakes on to go slower.
But you know what? Some highway patrols put cops out there just specifically to slow traffic down.
Yeah.
Not because they're looking to pull people over. They will do that if necessary, and you see that all the time. But a lot of the times, it's just a deterrent to get people to slow down in this area. That's why you end up with the fake cop car on the side of the road thing. There's no cop in there, but they put the car there, and then they notice everybody slowing down. So in this case, I think it's amazing that we're at a point where you can get a truck to drive by itself 120 miles on a major American highway. That's cool to me. But I wonder what the implications are going to be for people who are in that business right now. You can't be all that thrilled. Now, speaking of technology, how many times, Ian, you've worked with me, not just on this show, but when I had my midday show.
Right.
How many times have you heard me talk about the flying car?
Oh, yes. It seems like every 5 years ago there's a new version of it.
First time I talked about it was when I came to the station in 1999. I started here in March, and my first interview about flying cars was on May 27th, 1999. I checked my archives today. I talked with a guy at a company called Mahler International that had the Sky Car, who promised, oh, yeah, we're going to have this thing available for people in 2 or 3 years. That was 1999.
I remember. Wasn't there, because there was a story on TV about it as well. Was it the guy where they had the wings that folded up?
Yes.
And they were sticking up in the air?
Yes.
When they were folded? Okay.
8 years later, 2007, I spoke with a guy named Bruce Calkins, who was then the general manager of that company, Mahler International. And he said, oh, we're very close. We're going to have this car on the ready. Americans can be able to buy this car. It'll be very expensive at the beginning, but once we get it out and we get in production, the it'll drop and it'll be affordable, not for all Americans, but it'll be like buying a luxury car and you'll be able to fly in this thing. We'll get the FAA on board. It's just a few years away. That was 2007. 2013, I talked to another guy named Carl Dietrich, who has a company called Terra Fugia, who said, oh, yeah, we're going to have this flying car ready probably by 2015, 2016 at the latest. Absolutely. It's only a couple of years away. Today, on the CNN website, there's a story about a company called Zero, Z-E-E.A-E-R-O, a secretive operation in Hollister, California, funded by Larry Page, who's one of the two co-founders of Google. So he's a multi-billionaire, and he's pouring money into this project. And he says, yes, we have this flying car, but we're not saying anything about it. And it's very secretive. Reporters went out there to try to find it because they had heard from somebody who worked in a building nearby, I think I saw something hovering over near that building over there. And the cops had gone and some reporters had gone to find out about it, and you can't get on the compound there or whatever they call it, with the fenced in area where they're doing all their testing. And even the mayor of this little town of Hollister, California says, look, it's a private company, it's private property. We respect their what they're doing there. We respect their privacy. We know what they're doing there, but we're not going to talk about it because it's theirs. And so nobody knows exactly what's going on until today. When somebody, or it was last night, somebody got a picture of this thing on the ground. It was being towed from one building to another. And they showed a picture of that thing to this woman who had seen it in the air and said, yep, that's what I saw. And I looked at the picture, and it looks nothing like a car. It looks like a small airplane, like a very, very compact two-seater airplane with wings in the front and on the back and a tall tail and all that sort of stuff. That's not a flying car! That's a really small airplane.
Exactly.
Now, you may have the technology to build a really small airplane that does vertical takeoff and landing. That's cool. You know, like a Huey, a helicopter does, or like some of the other technology that the Air Force uses. Vertical takeoff and landing is a real thing already. They just don't have it for small vehicles like this. And you're going to need that if you have a car, because you don't want to have a runway. You want to be able to pull your car out of the garage, or you're parked on the street, you get in, you turn the key, you push up, and it goes up from there.
Yes.
Without having to pull it out of the garage.
After you pull it out of the garage. Yes. Well, no. You push up, and the garage opens.
Oh, your garage door opens up top.
But, I mean, that's what you want. You want, when you got to go to work, you want to go up and then forward.
Yeah.
That's all. That's not what these things are. They're really small planes that do have that ability, but are nothing like a car. But there's a quote from somebody at the company anonymously. Guess what they say about the future of flying cars?
What's that?
We're probably going to have this to market in 2 or 3 years.
Oh.
Always.
No, you're not.
That's a leak.
No, you're not. Now, one thing I want to add to this. I am not in favor of everybody having flying cars. Because I think it would be a problem in the air, and I know we already have problems with some drivers on the ground, which Tim will talk about in a moment in our traffic
exactly.
report. I only want me to have the flying car. I've said this for over 20 years. I want the flying car. I want to be George Jetson. I don't want you up there. I want the air nice and open for me. And that brings us to Tim Weiland, who has that feeling every single day when he goes to work. Right, Tim?
Yeah, there's some rogue pilots out there, too, that you don't want to be around. So I agree with you. Time for traffic, huh?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Oh, okay. Hey, it looks like they may have cleared that accident on southbound 55 near Route 4 off to the shoulder, because traffic is starting to loosen up now. Boy, it's really busy here now. We have eastbound Highway 40 drivers slowing from Mason up to 270. Going to be heavy again, 170 up through Big Bend, and also from Compton now to the Poplar Street Bridge. Westbound 40, though, you're jammed back to Grand, and that goes out through McCausland. Southbound 170, stop-and-go traffic. It goes from Olive down through about Ladue, and then you've got slow pockets down through Highway 40. Eastbound Highway 270 now jams up from McDonald around the bend all the way through Washington Elizabeth. Westbound 70, we're stacking up from Lucas and Hunt out through Highway 170. And this report is brought to you by Staples. They now have low prices every day on the office items you use most, like ink and paper. See store or staples.com for special deals and additional savings on printers, ink, and toners. Staples, make more happen. I'm Tim Weiland from the Vincent Mortgage Traffic Center.
KTRS Traffic Center is brought to you by Vincent Mortgage. 314-839-9999. NMLS number 225095.
Caring for a loved one at the end of life is the most difficult thing you'll ever have to do. But with the help of Celtic Healthcare, you don't have to face it alone. If you or someone you love has an advanced illness such as cancer, heart failure, COPD, or dementia, Celtic Healthcare can help. Their team of compassionate caregivers will provide care and support your family needs during this difficult time. Hospice care is about choice, how you choose to live, and who you choose to help you. Tell your doctor you choose Celtic Healthcare. To learn more, visit CelticHealthcare.com.
Introducing the all-new 2017 Nissan Titan. With America's best limited truck warranty, the Nissan Titan takes on any job. Shop ChooseNissan.com. See dealer for warranty details.
St. Louis Closet Company is celebrating 25 organized years in business. Call St. Louis Closet Company at 314-781-9000 for a free in-home estimate.